your life.
All right. I will call to order this Committee for Citizen Involvement of the City of Springfield. And at this time, we will have a presentation from Molly. And this is in regards to a proposed citizen engagement plan for relocating Glenwood Riverfront street design standards from the EDSPM to development code. So on that, I'll turn it over to you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So let's see, some of you were on the Planning Commission when the city adopted the Phase 1 Glenwood Refinement Plan. And that was back in 2012. And at that time, the City Council also adopted street design standards for the Glenwood Riverfront into the Engineering Design Standards and Procedures Manual. And that was kind of standard policy at that time. In the last year or so, the city has started a process of moving its street design standards from the engineering manual into the development code. And some of that is happening through the TSP amendments. Some of that will happen when Linda brings forward the downtown design standards. I'm bringing forward the proposing to move that for the Glenwood standards now. And so the actual amendment will come before you at a public hearing later this month. And then we'll go forward to the City Council. But in the meantime, we need to engage the public, as we do for all of our projects. And in particular, moving the standards into the development code triggers a ballot measure 56 notice to property owners, letting them know that there are proposed land use changes coming. And so we wanted to come to you with a little bit more robust citizen engagement plan for this project. And so on page 2 of the attachment that was in your packet, we outline what we propose as the tactics for engaging the public in this change. It really builds upon what was done in 2008 to 2012 with the refinement plan. And some of these actions are already in motion. For instance, we've already mailed the public notice and the frequently asked questions to the property owners. We're holding the open house next week, but we wanted to get your input on these strategies in case there are any tweaks you'd like us to make prior to deliberating on the actual amendments.
The public hearing is scheduled for
March 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any questions, I can answer them. And after you deliberate, we are requesting a motion to approve the plan with any modifications should you want to make them.
Okay.
Question. You said there was a property owner mailing that would just be to people in the Glenwood area. Would that be correct?
Yep. It just went to actually property owners and residents because some manufactured homes are considered real property, and so we mailed to those too. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I'm noting that there's a number of different areas where language is being brought into the code and code language is being refreshed and updated. And I'm getting the impression that this is actually laying the groundwork for the code revision itself. Is this all tied together with that, since there's all these sudden changes that are taking place all at once?
So I would let Mr. Mott answer that.
Okay. No. We usually come up with two or three code amendments per year for a variety of different reasons. Sometimes it's legislative. Other times it's to capture whatever policies the City Council feels need to be articulated stronger in the code. We, in all honesty, absolutely, and I feel like an idiot whenever I say that, because it implies that I don't always say things in all honesty, but the sort of the design and style and format and architecture and all of that stuff that's going to be a part of the code update hasn't occurred yet. So there will be months of organizing this thing, taking it forward to get feedback from the Planning Commission and City Council before a word is ever considered for amendment. So it is quite possible that these amendments that you're saying right now will survive intact to the code update process. But it's also possible they'll be relocated, possibly be reorganized, but everything that will be in that update project that will result in a change to what's there, either a modification of the existing text or an addition or deletion, it's all going to be in legislative format, so you'll be able to tell what's new and what's staying and what's going.
Yes. One other question is, since you were directly involved in the refinement plan of Phase 1 in Glenwood, and there is 3.4200 in the code that's Glenwood specific already, why weren't these particular standards included in that, incorporated during at that time?
So at that time, we put all these types of engineering type standards that related to public infrastructure in our engineering manual, and that was just the practice of the city at that time.
Thank you.
Other questions?
One other question. This is just basically moving already approved design standards from one location to another at this time, so there's no, like, considerable, no changes to the Glenwood street design standards that have already been.
No, not unless through the public hearing process amendments are proposed from Planning Commission or the City Council.
Great. Okay. Other questions? Well, the you know, this is a relatively abbreviated communications plan. When did the mailing go out?
The 28th of February.
28th of February. So, the middle of last week. Okay. And, okay. All right. Was there much pushback? Was there a lot of public input around the standards when they were originally adopted?
Well, I would say there was a tremendous amount of public input into the refinement plan, which established the policies that then influence the development of the standards. And then as part of the EDSPM updates, there were specific emails sent to the developers and contractors in the community, and there were public hearings, and so there were opportunities for input then as well.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes. Will there be an effort to contact or advertise this to the greater Springfield and even maybe the Eugene community?
So a notice was published in the Register Guard, and so you know, the publication of broad interest, and then information is posted on our website and sent to the interested parties for all of our Planning Commission.
Could there be PSAs done as well?
That's possible.
I would recommend that.
So some level of public service announcement indicating that this process is occurring. That's all Article 1. All right, any other feedback? Hearing none. I would move that we approve the strategies as set forth by staff, including the provision of public service announcement or announcements to make the general public aware as well. Do I have a second? Second by Commissioner Landon. Any questions or... Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, our next order of business, overview of the city's communication efforts, and this is information only.
Yes.
Amber Fawcett.
Did you get a copy of the other one?
Laura Lynn.
Yes.
Spiral.
Good evening. I'm Amber Fawson. I'm a public affairs coordinator here at the City of Springfield, and I work in the city manager's office.
And I'm Laura Lynn Spiro. I'm the communications coordinator for Development and Public Works and the Metropolitan Wastewater Management Commission.
So tonight, just before we jump in, we thought we'd come in and meet you all and talk a little bit about what the city communications staff here does at Springfield. We do have dedicated communication staff in the city manager's office, Development and Public Works, and the MWMC, and also the Springfield Police Department. The library does have a lot of staff that helps with their outreach and their marketing in terms of their programs, but they don't have a specific city communicator role in that department.
So we do have a slideshow going, and I won't probably read verbatim the slides, but at least highlight a few things. So advantages to having a communications team here at the city, you know, is to help staff effectively reach targeted audiences, gather and vet information for accuracy and ease of understanding, you know, making sure we're doing it at the right reading level depending on the audience. Managing consistent messaging and our branding, that's like the use of our logo and such. You know, if we get inquiries from the media, we help coordinate those interviews and then just ensure timely and consistent communications.
So, again, our slides have a lot of information on them. We like information. But we did list a bunch of different examples of services, and to touch on those, we at the top of the list is develop communications plans, and we're going to go into that a little bit more deeply in a minute, because what we want to do is be able to share with you some of the tactics that we use here at the city. We also look at developing ways for the community to be involved in the decision-making process. We coordinate and manage community engagement opportunities, develop greater awareness and support for city services, again, advise on media relations and communications issues, and respond to any media requests or inquiries from the community as they come in.
We also develop, you know, FAQs, frequently asked questions, or fact sheets, oversee either the implementation, creation of surveys, develop speeches, talking points, or key messaging for staff or city leaders, and then coordinate emergency or crisis communications. And so we're heavily involved with our emergency management program and participating in our emergency EOC. So we're definitely been involved in that and have a lot of training. So communications planning. One of our core responsibilities is services as far as providing communications planning. This depends on the variety or the topic for the project, depending on the size, the scope, the level of community interest we're needing, and the sensitivity around an issue. Efforts that require sustained mass communications, an example of that would be Main Street efforts due to the multiple agencies that are involved, and also there's more than one project happening on the corridor. We also do annual cyclical events or efforts, and examples of those are spring cleanup and leaf pickup program. And then efforts that require outreach to various points throughout a project, that means, you know, it's kind of the stop and go. Example of that would be the New Franklin Boulevard project.
Some of our communication efforts are a little bit more over time, particularly around when we're trying to encourage behavioral changes. So one example is our Canines for Clean Water program, where we're continuously trying to remind people to scoop the poop and don't leave their pet waste on the ground where it can get into our waterways. So again, that's kind of a behavioral thing, so that does take a little bit more time, but that's one example. One other thing I'll touch on is, well, Laura Lynn had mentioned earlier, the crisis or emergency communication. You'll see that most often in the winter, so you'll see a lot of our Facebook posts, things like that, will say, you know, prepare for icy roads, things like that. So it's really more the practical things that you can do on a day-to-day basis. Informational campaigns, most recent example that we have of this is the public safety levy that passed in November, so we provide and create educational material around that. Anything that goes before the voters is educational in nature and can only be public information, not advocacy in any way. So we do take great care to make sure that we are abiding by state rules regarding those types of informational materials. So.
Is that vetted by the state?
Yeah, we do vet it by the state, and that just keeps it nice and easy for us. So when somebody gets the information, we can be firm and clear that, yes, it's been passed by the state. So it keeps it just a lot easier in the long run. Okay, so now we're going to dig a little bit deeper into what we look at as city communicators when we're developing a communications plan, and some of what you see before you, this should sound familiar, but what we do go through is establishing goals in terms of what are we trying to achieve, objectives, and that's just the measurement toward the goal, and that there's specific measurements. The strategies answer the what is that we're going to be doing. The tactics answer the how, and those really identify the specific activities, and those are kinds of things that you tend to see the most traction on. It's kind of a what are we actually doing. And then the audience is who are we trying to reach. And with any communications plan that we go into, we're really looking at getting the right information to the right people at the right time. But at the same time, we also want to be nimble, and so we're kind of constantly assessing any kind of changes in the environment so that we're really making a communications plan or adapting a communications plan as needed as we go.
So this is probably not quite an extensive list, but a list quite a bit of the tactics that we do implement depending on the project or the program. And Brenda, we supplied her with some examples that she's going to bring around to you of some of the tactics we use. You know, over the years, the roles of as communicators has really expanded. You know, we maintain more digital communication avenues, such as now, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. So those digital platforms are becoming more and more used. You know, interactions with the media has evolved. It's much faster, emphasis on timeliness. You know, it's a 24/7 newsroom now. People are getting their news at any time of the day through digital platforms, and also through traditional, such as TV and radio. There's an increased emphasis on visual production, including videos and photography. And so we actually will even contract with professional photographers or videographers to help us put together videos that we post on our YouTube channels, or just going out and getting photos that we can use in some of these pieces as you have in front of you. And there's also an increased emphasis on ADA accessibility, so making sure our website is meeting ADA standards, that people, if they want something in an alternative format, that we can do that as well.
Bilingual.
Mm-hmm. That's becoming more and more needed, yes. And so we've been exploring having an on-call contract for bilingual services and still working out through that. But we do have staff on site that can also provide some translation services, especially in Spanish. So the next, and our almost last slide, is what's on the horizon. This is kind of the fun stuff, you know, what's going to be happening. And we have a new website that's going to be coming online sometime this year. The importance of visuals continues to increase. As I mentioned, videos and photography, short, easy to read messages continue to trend up. People want their information short, quick. They want us, you know, just to read a sentence or two and have at least the gist of it, the summary. Email and e-updates are still effective communications channels because we can get information out to folks, again, quickly and in a quick summary with visuals.
Back to your website. Are you you're contracting with a different provider?
We are going to be moving our behind-the-scenes platform or editing platform from Dreamweaver to WordPress, which will be much more intuitive, easier for staff. And we also are considering having either a contract or in-house website master so that staff has more support. Because really it's been spread out through multiple staff right now editing. So while we try to maintain the look and feel of the website, there are little pockets that you can tell there's a little bit differences.
Yeah, and one thing I want to add on the website, and it does go to the, you know, how much we offer in other languages, there will be a more robust translation capability on the new website. It won't be perfect, of course, because it'll only translate what's on the actual screen of the computer, but it'll be substantially better than what we have in place now. Ours is a little bit dated. So.
You know, the other huge issue for web is, you know, the new platforms are viewable much better on handheld devices, you know, in either platform, and that's incredibly important because, you know, you get a lot more FaceTime here than you do on a PC or even an iPad.
Yes, so a lot of people are viewing content about 50 to 54% on their mobile right now. So our website is going to be responsive and be mobile friendly.
Yeah.
So that is one of the things we stated we wanted in the contract with the vendor, is that the new website had to be responsive, mobile friendly, meet all those criteria.
I'm in favor of that. The only thing is you can't take that one picture off your front page that has Ron Wyden and Peter Fazio. Okay,
that's going to go away. I'm going to tell you that now. So no surprises, but but we are very excited about the new website. I think it'll be a very much more user-friendly experience for community members, and ultimately hopefully more useful in terms of how they interact with the city and their ability to actually do business online with us. So hopefully there'll be some improvements there.
That's great.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a coordination between the city's web pages and the library web page?
Yes, so the intent is for the library to come over and be integrated into the city's website and use the same editing platform behind the scenes. So that is the intent, yes.
So one of the things that we just kind of wanted to note is that, you know, Laura Lynn had mentioned earlier that, you know, everything kind of continues to expand and grow and change as it relates to communications, but the bottom line is still very much the same, and that's really just making sure that you're getting the right messages to the right audiences and when they need that information. So, you know, in any time, no matter what we're looking at, we're really kind of distilling it down to that and then kind of picking out which channels and tactics make the most sense for what we're trying to achieve. So it's growing and it's expanding and it's exciting and we're constantly learning, but at the same time it's the base is still the base.
What kind of data analytics do you use to know what web pages, what hits you get, and what do you do there?
Fantastic question. We actually don't currently use analytics on our website, so that is probably one of the bigger challenges that we've talked about off and on in our time here. We don't have the ability to mine that data, and so again,
it's pretty tough to tell what's being effective. You know,
it's extremely tough.
They hit you.
Yeah, I mean, we essentially have to look at, you know, like our social media sites, our participation maybe at events or open houses. I mean, there's certainly other ways that we can track this information, but our website's a pretty big hole in terms of not being able to actually capture that information. So that will be another area that will be a big improvement.
Excellent.
And I think just to close, we wanted to express, you know, the city's communication staff is definitely remains committed supporting the city's efforts to engage with community members, because city, you know, community involvement certainly isn't going to fade, and it can just continues to be more important as we move into the future.
Questions? Just a couple of questions that come to my mind. I know that Team Springfield is something that the city does in combination with the other municipalities, and you know, in the past, there's been, you know, one or two newsletters that go out a year, but I haven't seen one for a while. What's going on there? Are you guys working together on other ways, other projects? Are you guys involved in that at all?
I'm not personally, no. Peripherally. So I can let you know that there is a meeting actually to discuss just what you're asking about, and I think it's coming up in the next couple of weeks to kind of determine, you know, what that next publication looks like, what it contains, things like that. I think it's been an ongoing discussion for a little bit from my understanding. I haven't been directly involved in those, but I do know that there's a meeting in the next couple weeks to kind of have a meeting of the minds on the next steps.
I think one other thing we can add is the coordinators that from Team Springfield that were doing the newsletter prior did do a survey just to see, try to get some information as far as what is, you know, what are people finding interesting in the, you know, the newsletter as far as articles, what's the read, you know, how many people are actually reading it, and so that was what they took that data and was trying to decide what their next steps are going to be.
Good. Yes.
I don't know if there's a way to do this, but I guess one of my pet things is if there's a way to get personal things, you know, well, for instance, email addresses from folks like me, you know, I've already signed up and I remember it was pretty easy. But if there's a way to somehow enhance the personal outreach, because, you know, otherwise, and maybe I just do too much IT, but, you know, I'm never going to see another Register Guard, you know, magazine, like, ever. And so I'm worried that if we're relying on vehicles like that, we're not going to reach very many people.
So one of the features we want to have in the new website is an area where, or a drop down where folks can sign up for different update lists or newsletters, and they can pick and choose which ones they want to sign up for. So that's going to be a feature in the new website.
I think that would be fantastic, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, the other thing that I tend, and you know, just my background and experience, just in my real life, I work for the school district and I run the print shop, and you know, and I know you guys do some work with the school district, mm-hmm. and stuff. One of the things we've really, you know, we've really noticed how to reach people is with variable data, and that is personalizing things more. And you know, you're much more likely when you get something like this in the mail, if it has something that catches your eye that says, oh, this is, they know who I am and they've sent this to me for a purpose here. And so as we think about outreach, you know, I think that's one of the things we need to do, because people get mail, are inundated mm-hmm. with mail, and it gets shuffled into all the other stuff that they get. So, you know, and not all of our citizens have electronic, you know, more have this than have computers, you know, but it, you know, we still do a lot of mailings to people, especially on planning side, you know, because it's a requirement to communicate with those folks. So however we can do that more effectively, I think is really important. I think, you know, we need to, because how many people at our TSP hearings swore up and down that they didn't get communicated with. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so any way we can, if we have to notify, if we can make that stand out somehow so that they do know there's something that could affect them, I think that's really an important piece. So, other things?
Targeted Facebook posts?
We have done that. I'll use spring cleanup as an example. So we paid for some Facebook ads to target, you know, the Springfield zip codes, people that are on there. So we have done some of that. That's probably an area we could probably even expand a little bit in.
Pretty reasonably priced, too.
Yeah, yes, they are. And I would agree. I think it's an area that we'll probably look at toward expanding, especially because Facebook always changes how they do things, and pages are not currently getting that much play in the news feed, so we'll probably need to rely on some of that targeted advertising more.
Yes.
So are you involved at any level with the sub-mailings and all the communications that they send out, the flyers?
Two mailings we are involved with, and that's from the Metropolitan Wastewater Management Commission side. So we do a mailing in July, joint with the City of Eugene and the City of Springfield, also on the e-web side, to do our rate brochure for the local wastewater and stormwater and the regional wastewater and stormwater rates. We also do a stormwater education brochure, usually around February in the winter. And then this year, we actually did a one-time insert from the Metropolitan Wastewater Management Commission side, where we did a, hey, get to know us, because we're trying to build awareness. And we also added a pollution prevention tip side to the insert. But that was a one-time, and just happened in February. And it will actually be in the e-web bills in the March, this month's billings. So not on a monthly basis, but at times we are involved.
Thank you. Any other questions? Well, thank you so very much for
thank you for having us.
This is a great, great presentation. You know, I think you do a very good job. But you're always, you know, on the communication side. It's, you know, with the changing environment, you really have to be innovative, and you need to stay on top of these types of things. It sounds like you guys are got the ship headed in the right direction. So thank you for your work.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'll just say that one thing that we're trying to do is more formalize the relationship between the planners and the communications. I mean, that's always happened, but we're trying to make it happen in a more formal sense in terms of the plans that we bring to you, that they have had a chance to have input to them up front. And you may see them come at some of the more extensive citizen engagement plans so that you could dialogue with them in terms of what might be effective or not, because they are more expert than we are in some of these areas, and so as planners are going to be relying on them, and so you may see them on occasion in the future, and so on, and to make sure you knew what they were up to.
Well, I think that's excellent, because you are the expert in communication. I love your approach. You know how to do it. And so, you know, as part of our task as a CCI, you know, there are standards we have to meet, but you know, we always think in terms of a broader sense, and having someone with your knowledge, background, and experience on how to message things and get the information out so we can engage the public, that's incredibly important. So thank you for coming and presenting to us.
Thank you.
All right.